The government of Washington was closed for the day, but the streets surrounding the Capitol were buzzing by sunrise. A collection of the president's most ardent supporters are in a line that stretches outside the door at a townhouse one block from the Capitol. The building is festooned with a giant gold banner proclaiming one nation under God. These supporters have come from all over the country to savor a hard-won victory. And so for them, the day begins with thanks.
Father, we want to thank you that, first of all, we can declare as followers of Jesus Christ that Jesus is Lord of the United States of America. Yes. And also, Father, we want to thank you for our president, George W. Bush. We thank you that you have called him to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah.
That's Pastor Sam Benson of Seattle. He was one of several clergy members who prayed not only for the president, but also for his family and his cabinet. And there was a special prayer for the president's second term agenda. The host of this morning's event was Reverend Rob Shank. He's president of Faith in Action. To him, all the feelings of this inauguration day can be summed up in one word.
Relief. Relief, more than anything else. A lot of us were gravely concerned about the direction of the country under a possible Kerry administration.
What are you hoping to hear today in his speech?
Certainly something that reflects the sanctity of the family and marriage. Extremely important to us. Something that reflects the value of human life, especially the most vulnerable among the human family, and that's the unborn. Even if it's something you have to read between the lines, we want to hear that. Now, I think those messages will come through, if they do, very subtly. But religious people are used to reading subtleties.
Members of Faith in Action head out before 9 a.m. They hope to get an early start to nab the best seats. And that's a good thing because of the unprecedented blanket of security. Heavily armed police officers, helicopters circling overhead, sharpshooters atop most buildings, and miles of security fences around a 100-block security zone. At a checkpoint three blocks from the Capitol, a crowd of hundreds is stuffed into a building underpass, a tunnel of chants and shouts. Here, people who've come to celebrate are jammed shoulder to shoulder with those who've come to protest.
I'm not going to say four more years.
They do have a shared goal, to get inside past the checkpoint. Gerald and Martha Jean Harris from Atlanta, Georgia, carry official inauguration tickets, and in this crowd, they look absolutely bewildered.
How is it that you found yourself right here, surrounded by all of these protesters?
Well,
and he told us to come and get in this line, and we did. And we are definitely in the wrong place.
Sandra Parisi came from upstate New York to make her voice of dissent heard against the chorus of celebration.
We got on the bus at 1:30 this morning in the snow to be here. We thought it was important to stand up. We're not going to take four more years. We're going to keep coming back.
We're here on the lawn of the Capitol. The sun has just broken through. It's a moment when the president's family is being introduced on stage. In many ways, this year's inaugural ceremonies reflect the prevailing conflicts and contradictions of these times. The inauguration honors democracy at a moment when security concerns increasingly insulate the president from the people he serves. And the swearing-in, attended by members of both parties, is a celebration of national unity at a time when the country is deeply divided over the war, over politics, and the economy.
Heal our land. Please grant us peace today and strengthen all.
In addition to gospel singer Wintley Phipps, there were two opera divas, Susan Graham and Denise Graves. On the podium, along with the president, were the vice president, members of Congress, Supreme Court justices, and several members of the Bush and Cheney families.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, George Walker Bush.
Do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully.
After taking the oath of office for a second time, the president stepped up to the podium, older, much grayer than 4 years ago, and facing a country that has changed in profound ways. His speech lasted 20 minutes, but it did not take long for Mr. Bush to turn to the event that has shaped so much of his presidency, the terrorist attack that shattered the nation on a calm September morning.
And then there came a day of fire.
We have seen our vulnerability, and we have seen its deepest source. For as long as whole regions of the world simmer in resentment and tyranny, prone to ideologies that feed hatred and excuse murder, violence will gather and multiply in destructive power and cross the most defended borders and raise a mortal threat. There is only one force of history that can break the reign of hatred and resentment and expose the pretensions of tyrants and reward the hopes of the decent and tolerant, and that is the force of human freedom.
Defending and exporting freedom was the central theme of the president's speech. He mentioned the word no less than 27 times. And he pointed to the quest for liberty, here and abroad, to justify the current war in Iraq.
Today I also speak anew to my fellow citizens. From all of you, I have asked patience in the hard task of securing America, which you have granted in good measure. Our country has accepted obligations that are difficult to fulfill and would be dishonorable to abandon. Yet because we have acted in the great liberating tradition of this nation, tens of millions have achieved their freedom. And as hope kindles hope, millions more will find it. By our efforts, we have lit a fire as well, a fire in the minds of men. It warms those who feel its power. It burns those who fight its progress. And one day, this untamed fire of freedom will reach the darkest corners of our world.
The president spoke with force and great conviction about his outlook for the country.
We go forward with complete confidence in the eventual triumph of freedom. Not because history runs on the wheels of inevitability. It is human choices that move events. Not because we consider ourselves a chosen nation. God moves and chooses as He wills. We have confidence because freedom is the permanent hope of mankind, the hunger in dark places, the longing of the soul.
Though the president spent most of his speech on liberty and freedom, in the audience people took away messages of war and security and especially religion.
My name is Jerry Rushoff. I have just enjoyed being here so much today. I just feel like we are just blessed to have this Christian man as our leader. And I really think that the people responded to when we should care for one another. Not only our neighbor, but our neighbors are around the world now. Our world is so small compared to what it was when I was very young.
My name is Bob Sullivan. I'm from Dallas, Texas. I'm not a big supporter, so I wasn't really blown away by his speech by any means. I think the line that struck me was it the flames of freedom? If you're drawn in, you'll be warmed by it. If you're against it, you'll be burned by the flames. I thought that was very telling of the direction he wants to lead our country, which is very unsettling to me.
What did that say to you?
It's that don't get in the way of the United States or you'll be in big trouble.
Peggy McNicholas from Long Island, New York. And the most important thing I heard of his speech was when he said keeping our country safe, because 9/11 affected many families that we knew. And I'm proud because he is sticking to what he said, I feel. Because I think he's trying to make us safe, and I feel he has.
After a luncheon in the Capitol, President Bush led the inaugural parade down Pennsylvania Avenue. He rode in his new limousine until he reached the final block before the White House. There, he and First Lady Laura Bush, who was dressed in a winter white suit, emerged to the great cheers of the crowd and walked to the viewing stand in front of the White House. From there, they watched the rest of the procession, appearing quite relaxed. Tomorrow, the hard work begins.
Approaching the presidential reviewing stand, the faith
10 Drum Corps, the 3rd Infantry, the Old Guard.
You can hear and read President Bush's second inaugural address, as well as find analysis, at our website, npr.org.